The Home in Eden is the title of today's message, taken from Genesis chapter 2 and verses 8 to 20. The home is a place of rest, is a place of security, is a place of comfort. The home is a place where the people of God may dwell. And as we think about the idea of a home, we think about the physical home that we have, that we go back to at the end of each day, how comforting it is to have a home. And we take time to ensure that we have a home that is most secure, that is most comfortable, so that at the end of a long day of work, we may be able to abide and find solace, find rest, find comfort. When God made the first home in Eden, we are told that it was a most wonderful home that He had made for our first parents. And our memory verse gives a description of the garden of the Lord. When the first man is placed there, when the first couple was placed there, how it was such a wonderful place, described here, of joy and of gladness, of thanksgiving, and the voice of melody. We thank the Lord that He provided that home for Adam when he was fearfully and wonderfully made from the dust of the ground. Verse 9 of our text tells us how the Lord formed, or how the Lord out of the ground made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. Every tree that is pleasant to the sight. It's interesting living in the concrete city of Singapore, where you wake up to concrete walls. You wake up to see architectural edifice surrounding your life almost all the time. But when God made the home that was in Eden, He made the trees, and it says here how it was pleasant to the sight. Have you taken time to walk in the garden and to admire the trees that the Lord has given to us? Well, it's a great contrast. As you look at the plants, the trees, the green trees, there is a sense of a pleasantness, the text of Scripture tells us, that brings to the sight of the human eye. Do you realize that? How it is pleasant to the eyes. The Lord would want us to see and know, right, the beauty of the garden that He has made. And it was told here that there were trees that were good for food. And also in the garden was a tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, here, it is just a little short introduction concerning this beautiful garden that God had made for the purpose of a dwelling home for His creation, for His creature, for Adam, made in His image. And if you look at the construction of this house or this garden, this beautiful home, it says here in verse 10 that there is a river that flows out of the garden, and how it is able to water the whole land. The river went out of Eden to water the garden. And it's interesting, right? The Lord understood, knew how it is to nourish the land. And if you were to look at the history of mankind, and especially if you read later on the history of the life of God's people in Egypt, that in Egypt, there was a river that runs through the length of the land. And you know that in Egypt, right beside it, is a piece of desert. It's wilderness. And where will life come from in a desert place? Well, life comes from the river that comes to water the garden or water the land. And every year, there will be a flooding of the banks of the Nile River. And what happens then is this, that the people in Egypt would have to gather all the water supply that is available. And you know what is the greatest occupation in Egypt during those days? It's called the canal digger. The canal digger is a premier vocation. Why? Well, because that's where they are able to make reservoirs, to capture large catchment areas of water supply, to irrigate the land. That's where the crops will come. That's where life is. Well, the Lord knew, understood, and the garden was well watered. If you go to a garden today, in order for the garden to be properly kept, you need to have a gardener. Right? The gardener will have to be there in the morning before the sun would rise, and he would have to ensure that the soil is properly wet, right? So that when the suns begin to rise, the scourging sun that comes the roots, the plant itself would have enough moisture, nourishment to sustain itself. As you think about the environment that we live in, and what the Lord had created for us in the Garden of Eden, it is indeed a most wonderful place of refuge, a wonderful home. Well, what is so special about the Garden of Eden? Well, it is there where the man of God enjoys the communion and presence and fellowship with God. Right, in chapter 3 will be a description of how the Lord would walk in the cool of the day. Right, you see Genesis chapter 3 is described here after the fall of men. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And how Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Well, that was after their fall. But you can see here how the Lord was there, and they heard the voice of the Lord speaking to them. So, in the Garden of Eden, there is a sweet fellowship that Adam and Eve enjoy with their God. And Psalm 46 describes for us this wonderful habitat of God's presence with his people. Verse 4 of Psalm 46 says, "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And God is in the midst of her." God's presence with the people of God. You know, the Chinese character for blessedness, right, is the word with a radical of God. And one mouth in a garden. How that combination of God with men, right, in the home that God built for them is most wonderful habitat. Now, have you, as a child of God, in a sense, experienced, right, the guidance of God in our lives as we begin life with him? I recall was beginning to set up a home, and how the Lord laid upon us, right, that we would need a home by which we can dwell in, and where to find a home. How to find a home? I recall having to take time, right, take time to pray, to seek the Lord, to take time to ask the Lord, "Lord, where will be this dwelling place for me and my family?" And as we pray, as we seek the Lord will provide for us that place of rest. I recall spending time praying and seeking the Lord. What is the home that he will provide for us? And as we prayed, and at that time, you know, the queue was quite long, right, in order to provide a home. And we were wondering what to do. But as we seek the Lord, as we pray, as we take time to seek his will, well, we realize that the Lord did not forsake us, abandon us, but the Lord, as we look to him in prayer, as we seek his will, his presence to guide us, well, the Lord showed us the home by which we may be able to find, well, a resting place. And here, you see, as we think about what God had done for Adam and Eve, right, we realize that God knows the need of the man, right? And God provided that need for him. And the Lord wants us to see, right, hear, right, how the Lord is able, right, to make a way, right, for his people. And this is what we see here in our text, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The Lord says that there in the garden, he is to dress it and he is to keep it. Every tree of the garden, Lord says, thou mayest eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, you would see when God purposed to place them there in the garden, God gave everything freely to them. But there was one thing that the Lord did for their protection. That is that they must not eat of the tree from the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord gave to Adam and Eve the consequence, right? For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. What was the consequence of that? That he would surely die. And the Lord's purpose, right, is to let Adam and Eve know that if they would disobey him, right, they would disobey him, there will be a very serious eternal consequence to that disobedience. And, you know, Adam and Eve was, we may say, under the probation. Right? He was under probation. And the Lord says, and the Lord says to him, right, that he would be given, right, that he would be, that there will be death when he disobeyed. And you would see and notice that God gave to Adam and Eve a free will to choose. A free will to choose. In other words, God did not bound Adam and Eve. And if, but you see, sin has not come yet. And he had the choice to choose. To choose to love God and to enjoy the garden that God has created so wonderfully for him, or to disobey and face the consequence of sin in the life of a person. And the Lord wants us to know and to learn and to understand, right, his perfect will for his people. And we need to choose. Today, we are able to see, right, the fallenness of men. Right? The fallenness of men. That we are created, born in sin because of the fall of Adam and Eve. And this fall is so great. So great. But God did not leave us without hope, without help. God gave us the way out. A way out for Adam and Eve. But in the garden, you realize that was before the fall. God provided a protection for them. God said to them, this you must not do. Of all the things you do, and you know, it's so interesting here in verse 18 that Adam was alone. He was there among all the created creatures, the animal world, but there was none his equal intellectually. There was none like him. And you would notice, you would see how the Lord would make a help meet for Adam to complete that home. But today, we are going to just focus upon what God had done to place him there in the garden, that he is to dress it and to keep it. So he has a work there in the garden, and the Lord has given him dominion over all the creatures that he has made. Verse 19 says, "And out of the ground of the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam so that he can name them, to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." You notice how the Lord provided such a wonderful home for Adam. And he provides also a wonderful home for us by his mercy and provision. And we thank the Lord that he takes care of his people. He does not leave them to fend for themselves. You realize? The Lord made everything that Adam and Eve needed. And this is a picture that God wants us to have, because we think in our own mind, without a concept and knowledge of God, that we are alone in this world. And therefore you have to struggle, you have to fight, you have to do all things in order to survive. Well, but here, if you realize that you have a Heavenly Father, you have a Creator who loves you, you have a Creator who does all things for you in advance, thought for you what you need, then we ought to be at rest in our soul, ought to be at rest in our hearts, to know that we have a God who cares for us, that we are not alone in this world, that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and who will take care of us. Do you realize that? And God wants you to know that you have a Heavenly Father who cares for you, who plans for all your needs. So oftentimes we don't realize it, and therefore we become very edgy. What to do? How is it for me? Well, you realize that God has everything thought out for him, right? God placed him in a most beautiful home in which there were fruit trees everywhere that he can partake. And God also knew that he has a need for companionship. And in the fullness of time, which we will look at it the next Lord's Day, the marriage institution, how he provided a helpmeet for Adam. In the fullness of time, God knows the needs of his people. And you see how the Lord provides for every one of those needs. And the Lord wants us to realize how he cares for us, how he loves us, how he thinks for us, that we are not alone, that we are not helpless without help, but we have a Heavenly Father who loves us, who takes care of us, whom we can go to, we can run to, and he will meet all our needs. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, it says here, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Will your Father not take care of you? Will he withhold good things from you? Well, our text tells us that he will not. And as we study the scene in the home in garden, in the home in Eden, the home that God created, that God built for Adam and Eve, well, it fulfills all that God said. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" If you ask for bread, will he give you a stone? Would a father give to his hungry son a piece of bread when the son is hungry? Or will he give him a piece of stone? Of course he will give him a piece of bread. That's the love of a father. If he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Would he send something evil to bite him? To harm him? Of course not. But the Lord wants us to know that we are so well cared for. And the Lord wants you to know, so that you would realize that you are not alone, that all your needs your Heavenly Father knows. And so if you have some discomfort, what have you to do? Our text tells us, ask your Father in heaven. Ask your Father in heaven. And he has promised by his own name, for his own namesake, that he will answer them. He will care for you. Are you comforted? Are you happy to know that you are not alone? Well, the Lord wants us to know that you are not alone. Your Heavenly Father loves you. And your Heavenly Father cares for you. And your Heavenly Father will continue without fail to take care of you. And so may we learn to rest in the goodness of God. May we learn to rest in the provision of God. Right. And our text in Isaiah 51 verse 3, right, tells us that we would indeed enjoy the presence of God with us when we are in close connection with Him. There is joy, there is gladness, there is thanksgiving, there is voice of melody. In other words, you know that God is with you. He's taking care of you. Psalm 85 verse 8 says, I will hear what the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. But let them not turn again to folly. The Lord says that He will speak peace to His people, to His saints. The Lord will guide you. The Lord will show you the way of peace, the way out, the way of life. But turn not to your own folly. In other words, turn not to disobey the known will of God. And how can we learn to obey God and to follow Him? Psalm 128 verse 1 says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. In other words, take God's word seriously. Take God's word seriously. When He tells us, let us do it. Let us not delay. Take God's word seriously. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. You fear the Lord, then the Lord says to you, don't do this. It will harm you. You obey. That's where blessing comes. But when we disobey, that's where cursing comes. That's the way of God. He gives us His word for our protection. And let us choose to love Him. Let us choose to obey Him. Let us choose to fear Him and follow Him. Psalm 128 verse 2 says, for thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. So if Adam and Eve will not partake of the fruit from the tree of the garden of from the fruit of the of good and evil, nothing untoward will happen to him. He would continue to enjoy that sweet fellowship with God as he keep and tend to the garden that God has placed him there. And this is our life with God, you see. It's as if, you know, He protects us in such a marvelous way, shows us where the danger is, and feeds you before you can even think how to feed yourself. Do you feel happy that you have such a wonderful Heavenly Father who loves you, who cares for you? Will you obey Him? Or would you be naughty to disobey Him? Well, the Lord wants us to obey Him and have life and live. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. That's the way with God. And God wants us to live that way. Fear Him, love Him, serve Him, enjoy Him. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for Thy mercy in granting to us understanding of Thy word, to know Thy purpose for creating us, that we may have enjoy this sweet fellowship that we have with Thee. O Lord, help us to indeed enjoy daily our communion, our fellowship with Thee through our devotion, through prayer. And Lord, we thank Thee for who Thou art, for how Thou hast protected us, provided for us. And Lord, also in seeking that we may learn to fear Thee and to obey Thee. O Lord, strengthen Thy people. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.